The following reading is the application of the sermon called the Farewell Sermon of Jonathan Edwards to his congregation at Northampton, Massachusetts. The improvement I would make of this subject is to lead the people here present who have been under my pastoral care to some reflections and give them some advice suitable to our present circumstances relating to what has been lately done in order to our being separated but expecting to meet each other before the great tribunal at the day of judgment. The deep and serious consideration of our future most solemn meeting is certainly most suitable at such a time as this. There haven't been so lately been that done, which in all probability will, as to the relation we have heretofore stood in, be followed with an everlasting separation. How often have we met together in the house of God in this relation? How often have I spoke to you, instructed, counseled, warned, directed and fed you, and administered ordinances among you as the people which were committed to my care, and of whose precious souls I had the charge? But in all probability this never will be again. The prophet Jeremiah in chapter 25, verse 3, puts the people in mind how long he had labored among them in the work of the ministry, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even to this day, that is, the 23rd year. The word of the Lord came to me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking. I am not about to compare myself with the prophet Jeremiah, but in this respect I can say as he did, that I have spoken the word of God to you, unto the 23rd year, rising early and speaking. It was 23 years, the 15th day of last February, since I have labored in the work of the ministry, in the relation of a pastor to this church and congregation. And though my strength has been weakness, having always labored under great infirmity of body, besides my insufficiency for so great a charge in other respects, yet I have not spared my feeble strength, but have exerted it for the good of your souls. I can appeal to you as the apostle does to his hearers in Galatians 4, verse 13. You know how, through infirmity of the flesh, I preached a gospel to you. I have spent the prime of my life in strength and labors for your eternal welfare. You are my witnesses, so what strength I have had I have not neglected in idleness, nor laid out in prosecuting worldly schemes and managing temporal affairs for the advancement of my outward estate and aggrandizing myself and family. But I have given myself to the work of the ministry, laboring in it night and day, rising early, and applying myself to this great business to which Christ appointed me. I have found the work of the ministry among you to be a great work indeed, a work of exceeding care, labor, and difficulty. Many have been the heavy burdens that I have borne in it, to which my strength has been very unequal. God called me to bear these burdens, and I bless his name that he has so supported me as to keep me from sinking under them, and that his power herein has been manifested in my weakness. So that although I have often been troubled on every side, yet I have not been distressed, perplexed, but not in despair, cast down, but not destroyed. But now I have reason to think my work is finished, which I had to do as your minister. You have publicly rejected me, and my opportunities cease. How highly, therefore, does it now become us to consider of that time when we must meet one another before the chief shepherd, when I must give an account of my stewardship, of the service I have done for, and the reception and treatment I have had among the people to whom he sent me. And you must give an account of your own conduct towards me, and the improvement you have made of these 23 years of my ministry. For then both you and I must appear together, and we both must give an account, in order to an infallible, righteous, and eternal sentence to be passed upon us by him who will judge us with respect to all that we have said or done in our meeting here, and all our conduct, one towards another in the house of God and elsewhere. He will try our hearts and manifest our thoughts and the principles and frames of our minds. He will judge us with respect to all the controversies which have subsisted between us with the strictest impartiality, and will examine our treatment of each other in those controversies. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, nor hid which shall not be known. All will be examined in the searching, penetrating light of God's omniscience and glory, and by Him whose eyes are as a flame of fire. Truth and right shall be made plainly to appear, being stripped of every veil, and all error, falsehood, and righteousness and injury shall be laid open, stripped of every disguise, every specious pretense, every cavil, and all false reasoning shall vanish in a moment as not being able to bear the light of that day. And then our hearts will be turned inside out, and the secrets of them will be made more plainly to appear than our outward actions do now. Then it shall appear what the ends are which we have aimed at, what have been the governing principles which we have acted from, and what have been the dispositions we have exercised in our ecclesiastical disputes and contests. Then it will appear whether I acted uprightly and from a truly conscientious, careful regard to my duty to my great Lord and Master in some former ecclesiastical controversies which have been attended with exceeding unhappy circumstances and consequences. It will appear whether there was any just cause for the resentment which was manifested on those occasions. And then our late grand controversy concerning the qualifications necessary for admission to the privileges of members in complete standing in the visible Church of Christ will be examined and judged in all its parts and circumstances, and the whole set forth in a clear, certain, and perfect light. Then it will appear whether the doctrine which I have preached and published concerning this matter be Christ's own doctrine, whether he will not own it as one of the precious truths which have proceeded from his own mouth, and vindicate and honor as such before the whole universe. Then it will appear what is meant by the man that comes without the wedding garment. For that is the day spoken of in Matthew 22, verse 13, wherein such a one shall be bound hand and foot and cast in outer darkness, whither there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then it will appear whether in declaring this doctrine and acting agreeable to it, and in my general conduct in the affair I have been influenced from any regard to my own temporal interest or honor, or desire to appear wiser than others, or have acted from any sinister secular views whatsoever, and whether what I have done has not been from a careful, strict, and tender regard to the will of my Lord and Master, and because I dare not offend him, being satisfied what his will was, after a long, diligent, impartial, and prayerful inquiry. Then it will be seen whether I had this constantly in view and prospect to engage me to great solicitude, not rashly to determine the question that such a determination would not be for my temporal interest, but every way against it, bringing a long series of extreme difficulties and plunging me into an abyss of trouble and sorrow. And then it will appear whether my people have done their duty to their pastor with respect to this matter, whether they have shown a right temper and spirit on this occasion, whether they have done me justice in hearing, attending to, and considering what I had to say in evidence of what I believed and taught as a part of the counsel of God, whether I have been treated with that impartiality, candor, and regard which a just judge esteemed due, and whether in the many steps which have been taken, and the many things that have been said and done in the course of this controversy, righteousness and charity and Christian decorum have been maintained, or if otherwise, to how great a degree these things have been violated, then every step of the conduct of each of us in this affair from first to last, and the spirit we have exercised in all shall be examined and manifested, and our own consciences shall speak plain and loud, and each of us shall be convinced, and the world shall know, and never shall there be any more mistake, misrepresentation, or misapprehension of the affair to eternity. This controversy is now probably brought to an issue between you and me as to this world. It is issued in the event of the week before last, but it must have another decision at the great day, which certainly will come, when you and I shall meet together before the great judgment seat. Therefore I leave it to that time, and shall say no more about it at present. But I would now proceed to address myself particularly to several sorts of persons. First, to those who are professors of godliness amongst us. I would now call you to a serious consideration of that great day in which you must meet him, who has heretofore been your pastor, before the judge, whose eyes are as a flame of fire. I have endeavored, according to my best ability, to search the Word of God with regard to the distinguishing notes of true piety, those by which persons might best discover their state, and most surely and clearly judge of themselves. And these rules and marks I have from time to time applied to you in the preaching of the Word to the utmost of my skill, and in the most plain and searching manner that I have been able, in order to the detecting the deceived hypocrite, and establishing the hope and comforts of the sincere. Yet it is to be feared that after all that I have done, I now leave some of you in a deceived, deluded state. For it is not to be supposed that among several hundred professors, none of you are deceived. Henceforward I am like to have no more opportunity to take the care and charge of your souls, to examine and search them. But still I entreat you to remember and consider the rules which I have often laid down to you during my ministry, with a solemn regard to the future day when you and I must meet together before our judge, when the uses of examination you have heard from me must be rehearsed again before you, and those rules of trial must be tried, and it will appear whether they have been good or not. It will also appear whether you have impartially heard them and tried yourselves by them. The judge himself, who is infallible, will try both you and me, and after this none will be deceived concerning the state of their souls. I have often put you in mind that whatever your pretenses to experiences, discoveries, comforts, and joys have been, at that day every one will be judged according to his works, and then you will find it so. May you have a minister of greater knowledge of the Word of God and better acquaintance with soul cases, and of greater skill in applying himself to souls, whose discourses may be more searching and convincing, that such of you as have held fast deceit under my preaching may have your eyes opened by his, that you may be undeceived before that great day. What means and helps for instruction and self-examination you may hereafter have is uncertain. But one thing is certain, that the time is short. Your opportunity for rectifying mistakes in so important a concern will soon come to an end. We live in a world of great changes. There is now a great change come to pass. You have withdrawn yourselves from my ministry under which you have continued for so many years. But the time is coming and will soon come when you will pass out of time into eternity, and so will pass from under all means of grace whatsoever. The greater part of you who are professors of godliness have, to use the phrase of the apostle, acknowledged me in part. You have heretofore acknowledged me to be your spiritual father, the instrument of the greatest good to you that can be obtained by any of the children of men. Consider of that day when you and I shall meet before our judge, when I shall be examined whether you have had from me the treatment which is due to spiritual children, and whether you have treated me as you ought to have treated a spiritual father. Now I am taking my leave of this people. I would apply myself to such among them as I leave in a Christless, graceless condition, and would call on such seriously to consider that solemn day when they and I must meet before the judge of the world. My parting with you is in some respects in a peculiar manner a melancholy parting, inasmuch as I leave you in most melancholy circumstances, because I leave you in the gall of bitterness and bond of iniquity, having the wrath of God abiding on you, and remaining under condemnation to everlasting misery and destruction. Seeing I must leave you, it would have been a comfortable and happy circumstance of our parting if I had left you in Christ, safe and blessed in that sure refuge and glorious rest of the saints. But it is otherwise. I leave you far off, aliens and strangers, wretched subjects and captives of sin and Satan, prisoners of vindictive justice without Christ and without God in the world. Your conscience is bearing me witness that while I had opportunity, I have not ceased to warn you and set before you your danger. I study to represent the misery and necessity of your circumstances in the clearest manner possible. I've tried all ways that I could think of, tending to awaken your consciences and make you sensible of the necessity of your improving your time, and being speedy in flying from the wrath to come, and thorough in the use of means for your escape and safety. I have diligently endeavored to find out and use the most powerful motives to persuade you to take care for your own welfare and salvation. I have not only endeavored to awaken you, that you might be moved with fear, but I have used my utmost endeavors to win you. I have sought out acceptable words that, if possible, I might prevail upon you to forsake sin and turn to God and accept of Christ as your Savior and Lord. I have spent my strength very much in these things. But yet with regard to you whom I am addressing, I have not been successful. But have this day reason to complain in those words of Jeremiah 6, verse 29. The bellows are burnt, the lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melts in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. It is to be feared that all my labors, as to many of you, have served no other purpose but to harden you. And that the word which I have preached, instead of being a savor of life unto life, has been a savor of death unto death. Though I shall not have any account to give for the future of such as have openly and resolutely renounced my ministry, as of a trust committed to me, yet remember you must give an account for yourselves, of your care of your own souls, and your improvement of all means past and future through your whole lives. God only knows what will become of your poor perishing souls, what means you may hereafter enjoy, or what disadvantages and temptations you may be under. May God in his mercy grant that, however all past means have been unsuccessful, you may have future means which may have a new effect, and that the word of God, as it shall be hereafter dispensed to you, may prove as a fire and a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. However, let me now at parting exhort and beseech you not wholly to forget the warnings you have had while under my ministry. When you and I shall meet at the day of judgment, then you will remember them. The sight of me, your former minister on that occasion, will soon revive them in your memory, and that in a very affecting manner. Oh, do not let that be the first time that they are so revived. You and I are now parting one from another as to this world. Let us labor that we may not be parted after our meeting at the last day. If I have been your faithful pastor, which will that day appear whether I have or not, then I shall be acquitted and shall ascend with Christ. Well, do your part that in such a case you may not be forced eternally to part from me, and that all have been faithful in Christ Jesus. This is a sorrowful parting, but that would be a more sorrowful. This you may perhaps bear without being much affected with it, if you are not glad of it. But such a parting in that day will most deeply, sensibly, and dreadfully affect you. And lastly, I would address myself to those who are under some awakenings. Blessed be God that there are some such, and that although I have reason to fear I leave multitudes in this large congregation in a Christless state, yet I do not leave them at all in total stupidity and carelessness about their souls. Some of you that I have reason to hope are under some awakenings have acquainted me with your circumstances, which has a tendency to cause me. Now I am leaving you to take my leave with peculiar concern for you. What will be the issue of your present exercise of mind, I know not, but it will be known at that day when you and I shall meet before the judgment seat of Christ. Therefore now be much in consideration of that day. Now I am parting with this flock. I would once more press upon you the counsels I have heretofore given to take heed of slightly so great a concern, to be thorough and in good earnest in the affair, and to beware of backsliding, to hold on and hold out to the end, and cry mightily to God that these great changes which pass over this church and congregation do not prove your overthrow. There is a great temptation in them, and the devil will undoubtedly seek to make his advantage of them, if possible, to cause your present convictions and endeavors to be abortive. You had need to double your diligence and watch and pray, lest you be overcome by temptation. Whoever may hereafter stand related to you as your spiritual guide, my desire and prayer is that the great shepherd of the sheep would have a special respect to you and be your guide, for there is none that teaches like him, and that he who is the infinite fountain of light would open your eyes and turn you from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that you may receive forgiveness of sins, an inheritance among them that are sanctified through faith that is in Christ, that so in that great day when I shall meet you again before your judge and mine, we may meet in joyful and glorious circumstances, never to be separated any more.